Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Thursday, but it's also the last day of August here on Sports Time Radio. I, of course, am the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, hey, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturday mornings, but swing on over there, check out, see what's going on. You never know what's going to pop up. We got football season right around the corner, so who knows what shows up. But, of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, go ahead and hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, we greatly appreciate that. There's also the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man with three.
All right. Now, I was explaining to Dan that I did horrendous in FanDuel last night. I didn't even get a good pitching performance. I ended up with just 81 points. So I am going in, and I am trying a Mr. Fantasy strategy today. So we are going to see how this worked. I went out and found the best pitching matchup that I thought there was for the night. And then I built my lineup. I stacked my lineup, as they call it. As we go through it, you'll notice that I have four Marlins and three Nationals. So I'm betting on those teams scoring runs tonight. I haven't had much luck with this strategy, but I figure with the way it's been going, it couldn't hurt me. So I'm going to give it a shot. So here's what I went with. Pitching, I like Michael Walker tonight, down at 6,900 going against the Giants. I think that's a pretty good matchup. You know, the fear with Walker is, there are times he only gives you five innings, so I need that sixth inning out of him tonight. I'm going to need a quality start. Hopefully he can get a win. But, you know, I like the matchup. You know, it's not a great offensive ballpark, so he shouldn't give up a ton of runs. So, yeah, I'm going with that again. He's just $6,900 bucks, so I think it's a good matchup. Nice time to get the hiccups. Let's make those go away. All right, catcher. I'm going with JT Realmuto of the Marlins for $2,600 bucks. He's hitting fifth for them tonight. First base, I got Ryan Zimmerman of the Nationals. He's hitting fourth for them. He's cost me $3,500. The only oddity in my regular lineup, I have Jonathan Scope at second base. He's hitting third for the Orioles tonight. Cost me $3,900. Third base, I went with Anthony Rendon of the Nationals. He's hitting sixth tonight. Cost me $3,600 bucks. I guess you'd call him my bargain basement guy, is Miguel Rojas. He cost me $2,200 bucks. He's hitting eighth for the Marlins tonight. Then my outfield is Giancarlo Stanton, who did cost me $5,200 bucks. He's hitting second for the Marlins tonight. Christian Yelich at $3,800 bucks. He's hitting third for the Marlins tonight. And it wraps up with Jason Worth, who cost me $3,000 bucks, and he's hitting second for the Nationals tonight. So we're banking on this stack strategy. We'll see how it works out. But again, it's Michael Walker pitching, JT Realmuto catching, Ryan Zimmerman at first, Jonathan Scope at second, Anthony Rendon at third, Miguel Rojas at short, and the outfield is Giancarlo Stanton, Christian Yelich, and Jason Worth. So what did you come up with for the free roll tonight?
Oh, I saved a couple more hundred, and I did a little stacking myself, starting off with CC Sabathia. He was only $6,700, but I spent the money on Gary Sanchez, $37. Greg Bird with $2,000, but at second base, I'm over Daniel Murphy, $3,500. Chris Bryant for $43. My last Yankee of the night, Didi Gregorius for $3,000. This is where it gets really interesting. I went the same route as you with my outfield, Giancarlo Stanton for $5,200. Saved a ton of cash with Albert Almora, and then ended up with Marcell Ozuna.
So one way or the other, we have all three of the Marlins outfielders in our lineups tonight. I'm assuming since we're both playing Giancarlo Stanton, that means he's not going to homer tonight. So we'll apologize for that right away. So we will see. Yeah, that is the 6:05. Dan and I are doing the free roll still. We're still not spending any money. You got about 24 and a half minutes to get your lineup set for that. Oddly, while I did stink at baseball last night, I didn't win anything, but I had a real good WNBA outing. I scored 193.9 points, which with the way my WNBA stuff has been going is fantastic. I seem to be getting better at that and worse at baseball. I don't know how it works out or what the hell that means for football come Sunday. So, or two Sundays now, but whatever it works out, it's just kind of frightening for me. But all right, Dan, we had a, obviously it's the last day to make trades in Major League Baseball, get guys through waivers. And we did have one trade and then one guy claimed on waivers. Both of the deals involve the Angels. They went out and they picked up Justin Upton from the Tigers today. It cost them a top 10 prospect by the name, I want to get his name right here, Grayson Long, who is a right-handed pitcher. There's also the option for a player to be named later or cash going to the Tigers. Now, the Angels are picking up the remainder of Upton's contract. It's $88.5 million, but he does have an opt-out after this season. This is, possibly, the best season he's had. He's 30 years old now. He's hitting 279, but he's got 28 homers, 94 RBIs. So all around, he's only a career 269 hitter. I don't know. I mean, obviously the Angels are going to go for it. Do you like this acquisition? I mean, do you think he can be a difference maker there?
I mean, there's a reason why he was let go.
Then I know, everybody always kind of wonders, well, what did they give up? Well, here's Grayson Long. Again, I believe I heard he's going to be the Tigers' 12th best prospect. He's 23 years old. He spent most of his year in Double A. He's made 23 starts there. He is 8-6 with a 2.52 ERA. So he looks like he's pitched pretty well there. He's got a really good strikeout to walk ratio. 111 strikeouts to just 38 walks. So yeah, it doesn't look like, maybe he's not too far away. It looks like they were bringing him through the system pretty quickly, because this was just his third year with the Angels and he was already at Double A. So while they only gave up the one prospect, it looks like they may have given up a pretty decent one. As you always hear Dan and I say, you just never know how these guys are going to turn out. So we'll have to see, but I mean, are you positive on this deal, negative on this deal? How you feel?
It's kind of indifferent.
So, and then the other deal that I'm actually not quite sure how this one worked out because I heard it two different ways, but either way, the Angels apparently they either let Cameron Maven go to the Astros when they claimed him on waivers, or it ended up being a cash deal. I heard both reports, so I don't know which one it is. But either way, Cameron Maven is moving again. This time he's headed to Houston. He actually is oddly tied for the AL, the American League lead in stolen bases with Jose Altuve. They each have 29, so they'll be teammates now. Maven got off to a really good start, but then injuries limited him. He's managed to play 93 games this year, six bombs with 22 RBIs, but he is hitting 235. Dan, every time I think this guy is going to break out, it seems like an injury derails him. The Astros are only on the hook for the remainder of this season. He's a free agent at the, oh, actually, no, yeah, at the end of this season, he'll be a free agent. It said 2018. I was a little confused, but that's okay. You know, I know you've always kind of been a Maben guy. I know you had him on a couple of your teams fantasy-wise. You know, will he, I guess, will he ever be a starter again, or is his role just going to be fourth outfielder on teams like, you know, the Astros?
I think he's going to be stuck to fourth outfielder. I mean, who knows, I might see him in a Cubs uniform next year.
Yeah, you know, you never know. I mean, he has bounced around, you know, quite a bit now. You know, I got to double check here to make sure I get it correct, but the Astros will be his sixth team. So, you know, he spent 4 years, you know, he started, you know, way back when he started with the Tigers. They shipped him off to Florida. He went to San Diego. He spent a little time in Atlanta, back to Detroit, ended up with the Angels this year, and now he's an Astro. So, you know, people must think he has talent because they keep, you know, signing him or trading for him or, you know, however it kind of goes. But, I don't know. I just don't know if he'll ever find a spot. You know, and oddly, you know, he's been in some big deals. You know, he was part of the Tigers package that brought them Miguel Cabrera. And then he was part of the Padre package that brought Craig Kimbrel there. So, you know, obviously there's a lot of guys have a lot of confidence in him. He's making, you know, the remainder of a $9 million salary this year. So I don't know why, you know, the Astros aren't picking very much up there, you know, being there's what, a month or so left. So they say it appears to be about $1.5 million Houston's going to pick up. So, yeah, those were the only two moves that I saw announced. I don't know if anything else will pop up here. You know, what I'm trying to figure out, Dan, is what are the Tigers doing? Is this an attempt at a rebuild, but they can't get rid of some guys? Or, you know, what is it?
Well, I mean, how can you rebuild when you really can't unload the big contract?
Yeah. Well, you know, that seems to be the weirdest thing. But like following along, I heard reports all day that there was a lot of Justin Verlander talk, and then they apparently were trying to unload Shane Green and Alex Wilson. So, you know, they were looking to move some pitching, and, you know, nobody bit. You know, we know Miggy went through waivers earlier in the week. You know, unclaimed. So I don't know. Is this going to be a strange rebuild that we're looking at when it comes to the Tigers?
I wouldn't even call it a rebuild. It'd be more like a rework.
Yeah, I guess, you know, they're gonna try the retool on the fly, I guess.
They don't really have a choice. You know, with Mickey's contract going through 2020 plus, I forgot how long it is, but it'll be 42 when that expires. Verlander's contract isn't as desirable, and neither have his numbers been. You know, those are your two biggest ones. Kind of hard to really, you know, do the rebuild.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, it's not, you know, I mean, those are two guys you can hang on to, but, they made a lot of moves to try to fix the team. You know, they brought Jordan Zimmermann in as a free agent. You know, that didn't really work out. You know, they've made a couple of, you know, bigger trades and signings. Upton was one of the bigger signings. You know, they're still hanging on to Ian Kinsler. I don't know. Let's see if I can pull it up here real quick. Some of their contract situations, it's, interesting. But, you know, I guess part of the reason I heard they moved Upton is he told the Tigers he was going to opt out. So they wanted to get something for him while they still could. You know, they moved JD Martinez earlier, you know, to Arizona because he was in the last year of his deal and they didn't think they were going to be able to bring him back. So, yeah, I guess it's just kind of a...
Well, it sounds more like kind of like, let's get rid of guys that we know we're not going to sign anyway. So, like you said, trying to get something while they can. And, I mean, Avila and Wilson haven't really made a huge difference for the Cubs. And I forgot what they got in return.
Yeah, well, you know, yeah. I mean, Wilson has been bad. They've got Miggy signed here through 2021 on the SportTrack website. So, we'll see how that goes. Kinsler does have an option year for next year. I don't know how that will be handled. What else do they have here? Yeah, other than that, they're pretty, pretty decent. They're a little wrapped up with pitching. You know, Verlander is signed through 2020. He's got that, all the clauses and stuff there. The tough one here is Jordan Zimmermann is signed through 2020. He makes $18 million this year. It jumps to $24 million next season. And then the final 2 years of the deal are $25 million. He's got a full no-trade clause next year and then a partial the next two. So, yeah, that's going to be a tough contract to hang on. Anibal Sanchez has an option year. I'm sure they'll buy him out or however that works out with him. So, he'll be gone. Relief-wise, believe it or not, it looks like they're going to have to pay K-Rod next year. He's actually got a contract next year. So... yeah, but yeah, all their relievers are even basically arbitration eligible. So they're not too bad in the bullpen. But yeah, so they've managed to free up some cap space. I mean, I fully expect Avila or Avila or whatever we're calling him now to re-sign there since his father's the GM. But we'll see how it goes. It really looks like the bigger contracts they're carrying are just Miggy, Verlander, and Zimmermann. Now with Upton gone, they have they've always had money, Ilitch always had money to spend, so they can, they can hold those contracts. It's not that big a deal.
Now, I mean, Maven and Upton actually have the names behind them. But as MLB puts it, blockbuster deal. Would you really put that word into the deal?
I don't think it's what I would call it. I mean, it's a big deal, with Upton being moved. But yeah, I don't think I could call it a blockbuster or would call it a blockbuster. I guess I get it. They want to attract a little attention to the site and the deal and all that stuff. But yeah, I'm not quite buying it as it being a blockbuster there. So, but yeah, if it makes them feel better, right?
Yeah.
Now, of course, being that it's Thursday, we had a lot of baseball action. So here's the finals we got already. The Twins beat the White Sox. It was actually a walk-off hit by pitch with the bases loaded. I happen to have the game on. The closers figured in the decision. Matt Belisle got the win for the Twins, and I believe is it Jesus Minaya is the guy closing for the White Sox. I think now he took the loss. The Reds beat the Mets 7-2. Robert Stevenson got the win. Jacob DeGrom took the loss. The Astros beat the Rangers in St. Petersburg 5-1. Chris Davinsky got the win. Ken Giles got the save. Nick Martinez took the loss. The Diamondbacks really, really roughed up Kenta Maeda today. They ended up getting an 8-1 win over the Dodgers. Zach Greinke got the win. He's actually 16-6 now. And Maeda took the loss. Those are the finals we have as of right now. I actually don't think anything else has even started yet. No, I know the Yankees and Red Sox will get going in about 10 minutes here. But yeah, those are all the finals from earlier. So Big plus for the Diamondbacks. Greinke pitching good against the Dodgers. You know, in case that's a playoff matchup for them, they, you know,
mm-hmm.
something to build on there. You like that?
That's what they need.
And you know, it is a, I guess a pretty full sports night, depending on, how you kind of feel. You know, we got, there are a handful of baseball games, but I believe every NFL team is playing tonight with the exception of the Cowboys and the Texans. The game was supposed to be in Houston with the situation there. They canceled it. Locally, we're going to get the Cleveland Browns at the Chicago Bears, Dan. I know you're excited to watch that game. There are two games scheduled for NFL Network. I don't know if they'll black these out here on us, Dan, but you could also get the Los Angeles Rams at the Green Bay Packers or the Philadelphia Eagles at the New York Jets. So we've got some. Oh, and the late game, the Seahawks at the Raiders is also on the NFL Network. That's a 9 p.m. scheduled start. I won't be up for that. But yes, yeah, so you got that. And then Dan, I know more importantly for you, college football kicks off tonight, Dan. How excited are you about that?
Yay.
Yeah, we start with the number two ranked Ohio State Buckeyes. I believe they're at the Indiana Hoosiers. I believe it's a road game for them tonight. I know there have been some other games that some smaller schools have played games. But this is technically week one, the start of week one of the college football season. So, however you like it. So they're definitely a lot of TV viewing, depending on what you're interested in. You know, it is the final week of the NFL preseason. So I don't think we're going to get to see much there, except Dan's looking to see how Mitch Trubisky does. He's very excited about that, right?
Oh, yeah, of course.
So, yeah, just a ton of, ton of television stuff. If you're going to break off the clicker, I know we're not huge college football guys. Maybe I'll take a look at a little bit of the game, but I don't think I'll spend a ton of time there. I'm kind of under the impression it'll be an Ohio State blowout anyways. We'll kind of see how that goes. And like I said, it is the last week of preseason, so I don't even know if starters are playing or dressing. I may just stick with the Yankees. Red Sox are on the MLB Network 2 days in a row, so I may just flip between that and the Cubs and the Braves, and kind of make that my sporting night, and just pop in on the Bears to see a score or something like that. I don't think I'll watch much of it. Is that kind of your plan, or what is your sports viewing evening look like?
Pretty much the same. I mean, I gave my sister the tickets to tonight's Bears game, so.
Oh, that was nice of you.
We'll see if. Yeah. Yeah, I figured with me moving and all that stuff, I figured it was easier just to give them away.
Yeah, well, that's. See, you're in the end, you're a good brother, no matter whatever. Well, all those bad things you say about her. Oh, so and of course, Dan and I also need time to prepare for our fantasy drafts, which start tomorrow.
Yep, that's where all my time's going. Got to get my look at the number three. Like, no, who not six.
Yeah, I have to look. I know we've been picking up some signups here and there, but I want to check in and see how our league is actually rolling along. I know we were a lot shorter than I thought we were the other day, but let me.
Tomorrow night is all set. I think we're locked in at 20 teams. While you take forever with your 18th internet, but it's Saturday night. That was missing. A handful of teams.
Was it the Saturday one? Okay. So let me get this one. Yeah, it looks like we are we still have three openings. So You know, if you're interested, you know the deal. Go ahead and email sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. You know, we'll shoot you the link, and you know, you can jump in and play fantasy football with us.
Yeah, like you said, everyone wants to play hockey for some reason in the 20-team auction league. I was very surprised to get an email.
But yeah, you know, yeah, it was weird because I even deleted a sixth team out of the hockey league, you know, because I thought they were a dead team, and the, you know, it filled right up. I was like, wow. So hopefully we will, you know, hopefully we'll, you know, we'll get that. I wish we got that same response for football.
Now, kind of bouncing back to baseball, and this one I really had in mind for you. So I was going to the waiver wire earlier, and I'm always looking for starting pitching. I'm always kind of, I've got my core guys, but then, you know, there's a couple guys you can kind of go in and out with. They're hot, you might as well take them when they're hot, and when they're not, you just drop them. They might be available again, but, you know, you can always find a starting pitcher here and there. But one that stood out to me, starting tomorrow for the Mets, Matt Harvey. Is that a guy you're going to go into the auction league and pick up now that I told you he's there? I know that's your gun.
You know, I was actually invested in Matt Harvey last year. I was really thinking he was going to bounce back. And yeah, it didn't work out. So I definitely will not be going to get him. So he's all yours if you want to, you know, if you want to take the chance and, you know, give it a shot.
I thought about it, but then I figured I'd rather roll the dice than newcomer Lucas Giolito, who went 7 innings and got a win in his last start. So I forget, I get ready who he's playing, he was going up against Sunday, but I figure what the hey.
Yeah, well, you know, he's actually, you know, he's actually pitched pretty well in his, you know, his few starts. I know he gave up some home runs in that first one, but you know, those are the kind of things you're gonna go through with young pitching. I mean, you know, the White Sox should have learned that today when they. You know, when their closer went out there and just completely choked away a lead, you know, these are the kind of things that are going to happen with these teams. So we'll see how he does, but yeah, I don't think he's a bad pickup at all, you know?
No, and I figured he has the experience. And the majors are ready. So.
Yeah, you know, yeah, I know, you know, I know he struggled with Washington. You know, that didn't go, you know, quite as expected. And that was part of the reason they, you know, they kind of gave up on him. You know, they, you know, basically threw him in with that deal and, you know, just kind of let the White Sox have him when you look back at that. But, yeah, it's worked out, you know, so far so good. I mean, he had a really good year, you know, in AAA. And, you know, like I said, his first couple starts, is, you know, he had the little issue with the first start, a couple too many home runs. But you know, again, that's going to happen. And, we'll, you know, he seemed to straighten it out last time. And, you know, he could go out. He's got it's Tampa Bay this Sunday. You know, and they strike out a lot. So there's a chance he could rack up a pretty good strikeout total for you.
Mm-hmm. So that's what I'm hoping for. Another risk I took on a young guy came through for me today in the game you gave us a score on was Cincinnati's starter for today. He went 6 innings, got the win, only gave up 2 earned runs, 3, but struck out 7 for the quality start, and that's Robert Stevenson. Don't know a whole lot about him, but I like what the numbers kind of told me. I rolled the dice and got a W today.
Yeah, I actually took a shot on Kendall Graveman and managed to have a pretty good outing. You know, it wasn't, you know, life-changing or anything, but it was really solid. You know, sadly, he didn't factor in the decision. But, yeah, it ended up being a, you know, a plus outing, which is nice. You know, that, and, you know, those are the things you, you know, you got to kind of learn. You got to, you know, flip through these things and, you know, just kind of be like, hey, I need a guy. I got to start, you know, start looking at the best pitching matchup. So,
yeah, I did have to finally just give up on Chad Bettis.
Oh, did you finally?
Yeah, it just wasn't working out anymore.
Well, you know, those are the other things. You know, you have to, you know, you have to make those, you have to make those decisions as well, too. You know, sometimes they're, you know, the right ones. Sometimes they're the wrong ones. You know, I think we all go through and go, man, I wish I wouldn't have dropped that guy. So, you know, or I wish I wouldn't have picked that, or I wish I would have picked that guy up. You know, I don't know how many guys I just waited on too long to pick up. You know, I should have been a little quicker.
You know, that's why I was surprised Lucas Giolito was available, especially being in the Chicago-centric league.
Yeah, it's, you know, well, I think it depends on who's still competitive, you know, in the league, because if some of those guys drop, you know, drop out, you know, they're not looking to make changes, or, you know, at this point in the position, where a lot of guys are already looking forward to the football draft, they may completely forget that we still have baseball going on, you know, but like I, you know, I got a team that's fighting for a playoff spot. I think my, as long as my one team doesn't totally tank these next couple weeks, it should get in. But, you know, my other team is floating right around that eighth spot. So I can't have a, you know, I can't have a tanked week. I can't get my head kicked in. You know, I need to get lucky and play a dead team and put up like one of those 26 to 2 weeks or something just to, you know, to get there. So,
yeah, I had one of those weeks against Mr. Fantasy.
yeah, I think he may be done, depending on, you know, how it, you know.
No, he changed his lineup that week, too.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
But yeah, I found this one, Dan, and I don't quite know what to make of it. But you know, good old, you know, LeVar Ball found a way to get himself back in the news. You know, we hadn't heard much about him lately. Well, apparently now they've added a second shoe, Dan. You can now get a LaMelo Ball signature shoe for $395. Now, the issue with this, of course, Dan, is LaMelo is a 16-year-old high school junior. You know, he, you know, when you're, you know, want to play in the NBA, you have to spend at least 1 year in college. This is a complete violation of NCAA rules. So, of course, when they mentioned it to LeVar, his quote was, here you go. We'll worry about it when we get there. Who cares? If he can't play, then he can't play. It doesn't mean he'll stop working out and getting better. You know, Dan, every time I think this guy can't be a bigger ass, he becomes a bigger ass. You know, and are you paying $395 for a high school junior's signature shoe?
No, but I think he'd be smart to donate them to his son's team just to show his baller status. I mean, this obviously shows the confidence that he has in his kid. And, you know, maybe one of the things he's kind of thrown at you is the fact that, I mean, maybe, I don't want to say he's trying to revolutionize or, you know, even do things his own way. But, I mean, you and I have talked about this before. Whole go to college 1 year and one and done and all these, it's a joke. So why bother? Like you said, his son can continue to work out, get better. The G League, I forgot what the requirements were. But, I mean, he doesn't need college to even get in the G League. He could just go try out for it. You know, it costs like $400 or $500
to sign up. And, yeah, he's in the G League, so.
But, I mean, you know, just because he's not getting the exposure on a college team, I don't think that would necessarily hurt him that bad. I mean, and let's be honest, yeah, it's a violation of NCAA, but the NCAA is a violation of personal rights, players' rights to begin with. So, but I
well, you know, I mean, that's a double-edged sword, depending on, you know, how you, you know, what side you kind of sit on there. I do know, you know, LaMelo is supposed to be the best of the three brothers. You know, I know the middle one right now, I'm drawing a blank on his name. I think it's in here. It's obviously a L.A. name. Here you go. It's LiAngelo. He actually is at UCLA right now. So he can't get into any of this because it would, you know, compromise his eligibility. He apparently is the worst of the three. You know, and while it's not such a big deal about LaMelo going to college, what he needs to be able to do is play against quality competition. And that's what you get out of the college experience. You know, you're playing against better athletes. I mean, if he's just going to stay at home and work out and play against daddy, he's not going to improve. So while he'll still be probably a quality player, I'm sure, it's going to take a little more time to develop his skills because basically he's, you know, it would be like, you know, somebody going to the instructional league for a month and then being expected to come up and hit major league pitching his first at bat. You know, it takes you a little while to kind of get your groove back, you know, without batting practice or anything like that, just stepping in the box and going.
Who knows? Maybe they'll have secret workouts with the Lakers.
You know, that is possible. I mean, you know, obviously if they were smart, they would sign him overseas for a year because he can do that. You know, I mean, he could go play the short schedule in the Euro League or you know, Greece or China or something like that, you know, and then go into the draft. You know, Brandon Jennings did that. You know, it could also help the brand as well because, you know, you would see him internationally. You know, it could actually be a way to grow the brand. I think my big question with that is I just don't know if Daddy could let go to allow him to go overseas because obviously he would be away. And, you know, Dad likes to keep a tight rein on these guys, so.
Yeah, but, I mean, it's good that he's not listening to us because, I mean, you just put a new marketing plan all together for him.
Well, you know, I would like to think he's thought of this already. You know, I mean, he seems to, you know, kind of went down all these other avenues. I would find it hard to believe, you know, he hasn't thought of this. So, you know, I just thought it was kind of odd because, you know, obviously you have a kid here with a boatload of talent. And, you know, you just got to worry. I mean, the dad's got 2 years to screw this kid up, and, you know, he's kind of on the way. So.
You know, maybe he'll be like the Molina. You know, like you said, he's the third one. Daddy was the third one. He's like the best one.
So, yeah, maybe it has something to do with the third one that you end up being the best one. So. But, you know, you did mention the Lakers because obviously that's where his oldest brother Lonzo plays. They were fined $500,000 today by the NBA for violating the anti-tampering rule. So that's the penalty they got. Apparently it was found out that the Lakers GM, who is now a gentleman by the name of Rob Pelinka, whose name you will never hear because Magic Johnson is there. He apparently reached out to Paul George's agent And obviously, George has a contract for next season, so that's a big no-no. So it's going to cost the Lakers $500,000. Of course, to a team like that, that's absolutely nothing, but it looks good.
Where did that money go?
Oh, I assume Adam Silver's bank account or something like that. I don't know, you know, how things kind of work out. I'm sure there's a fund or something like that. You know, who knows?
Well, then it's all done and over with.
Yeah, you know, now it's gone, and if Paul George wants to sign there, you know, next season, he can. But I found this story, Dan, and I forgot. We probably should have led with this because this directly involves one of your favorite players. I don't know if you heard this or not, but Bulls guard Cameron Payne, Dan, will undergo surgery for a fractured right foot. And they have the timetable as his return as a couple of months. You know, I know you're a really big Cameron Payne fan since they picked him up for the Thunder. You know, are the Bulls going to be able to handle his loss for a couple months?
Can they get Rose back?
No, he's with Cleveland now.
No, I mean, are they going to cut his hair while he's getting surgery? Or...
Yeah, that I don't know. I can't, you know, I don't know what he'll actually end up doing or looking like when he comes back. I just, you know, obviously the reason we mentioned it is because Dan did not like the trade with the Thunder, and Cameron Payne really hasn't done anything since coming to the Bulls. So it was just... One of those kind of humorous things that fell right into place. So.
Yeah, well, no, he doesn't do anything. He even heard it on broadcast. Like, what is he doing? Why is he on this team? Why is he even playing? You know, I'm exaggerating a little bit, but that's just kind of what I get. No offense. I'm not trying to knock him or, you know, his, you know, congratulations, you made it to the NBA, but, you know, he's more like a career GBA guy. I don't know, that's a G League guy.
Yeah, and he's actually had an injury to this foot before, so you wonder if this is something that's just going to continue to happen. You know, he hurt it way back in July 18th, and they put him in a boot. He wore the walking boot for 6 weeks, but it didn't heal properly, so they're going to have to go in to fix it. You know, on the plus side, Dan, he is only 23, so he is still young, and it appears that, you know, if he's willing to put the work in, he could improve. But it's funny, the article actually mentions how badly he struggled with the Bulls. He played in 11 regular season games last year and managed only 4.9 points per game. So,
well, I mean, the game... I know you covered more of it, but the games I watched, it was like the kid got the ball and just threw it up in the air.
Yeah, he definitely needs some work on his game. You know, I think he's under the impression he's a scorer, and I think he might be better off being a pass-first point guard.
Well, I forget who it was, but they said one of the issues with him and the reason he does what he does was because he played behind Russell Westbrook. But he's, you know, Russell Westbrook.
Yeah, well, you know, that's all fine and dandy when you're playing in, you know, Oklahoma City. You know, I don't have a problem with that at all. You know, that's how they run their team. That's great. But, you know, when you come to a new team, you know, you definitely think you want to, you know, fit in and do what's right. And, you know, I mean, you're on a team, you know, they had a superstar in Jimmy Butler last year. Your main focus should be getting him the ball in scoring position.
Mm-hmm. Well, and even the look on his face, like, oh, I missed it again. You know, I just didn't feel like there was a whole lot of confidence behind the face, and the shots he was throwing up were just, it didn't seem like he took time to, you know, set up his own shots, let alone anybody else.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Again, you know, like I said, he is 23, so we'll see if, you know, he can improve. You know, if he's, you know, and, you know, there are a lot of guys out there who aren't willing to do the work and they end up out of the league. You know, we'll see if Payne is one of them when he gets better, or, you know, if he's willing to put the work in and try to make teammates better, because obviously he's not a shooter. You know, I mean, I think you'd rather have Tony Snell shooting the ball than Cameron Payne, wouldn't you?
Oh, yeah.
So, but,
you know, and I think that,
you know,
part of it is, like we always talk about the way the game is today, it's like shoot three first, ask questions later.
Yeah. You know, I mean, that definitely is it. If you've got an open look at a three, you shoot it. So. But,
yeah, right.
You know, just definitely one of the odd things. Yeah, but, you know, when I saw the name, I was like, oh, that's right. I wanted to bring this up to Dan. So.
Well, and it, you know, on the other side of it too, with the three-pointer, you know, we talked, number one, that nobody really plays defense anymore, but you really don't get many 3-point shot fouls unless it's that craft that I hate. And I think, I forget who does it all the time, but you know, where they do the jump and then they kind of duck a little and make sure their body goes forward into touching the defender so that they can get
yeah.
the foul. You know, other than that, one-on-one, you don't see many fouls. You don't really see much defense thrown up in the guy's face when it comes to three-point shooting anymore.
Yeah, and you wonder as the league kind of evolves if that's going to change. You know, because obviously it's become a three-point shooting league. So, you know, you wonder if somewhere down the road, you know, one of these, you know, defensive coaches, guys like that, is going to realize that, you know, they've got to kind of find a way to defend it.
Yeah, and well, you've got to want, and I get it, there's always going to be fouls, and it's part of the game, but, I mean, the intentional fouls on the scoring side of it, I think is crap. The fact that you can jump in the air, you know, hold the ball where your arms are bent, you know, not fully extended, so it's almost like the 90 degree before you even attempt a shot, but then you magically lean forward into your aerial, you know, acrobatics and bump into the guy defending you, and then you throw the ball up in the air that looks like a total crap, and you get the three shots on it. You know, I that's something they need to change. That's something they need to get rid of. Like, all right, no, he didn't foul you. He was standing there. You flew into him. You know, but 99% of the time, the offense gets that call. And I get it. You want that call on your team. But, you know, even when I'm watching, you know, quote, my team, I think it's crap.
Yeah, it's definitely something the NBA needs to kind of find a way to legislate out of it.
Mm-hmm.
So,
you know, and that's, you know, one of the things,
you know,
like with D Rose, you know, I know he's gotten really soft and he's badly, he's like a 35-year-old in a 25-year-old body, or, you know, wherever he's at, you know, he's in his 20s. But the one thing I did like about his game is when he took it to the basket, he was taking it to the basket to make a shot, not to get fouled. And that's part of his game you can definitely respect, where, you know, there's guys today who take it to the basket only to get fouled. And that's the part of the game I just really dislike. I get it. You're going to have fouls involved in the game. But the guys who rely on the foul to be their game, I don't know. It's just, I don't really have as much respect for those guys. Great, you're a good foul, you know, free throw shooter. Big deal.
Yeah, well, you know, I
it
mean, you do have to be a good free throw, obviously. But,
yeah.
Yeah, it's...
But, you know, it's a cheap part of the game that I just don't like.
Yeah, you know, it can, you know, and that's a lot of the problem, you know, I have with the game. It can be it can be a difficult game to watch at times. So, you know, we'll, You know, I keep, you know, I keep hoping it gets better, but you know, I don't know. You know, just one of those things.
Yeah, you're just throwing your arms up in the air because you give up.
Yeah, you know, that's kind of how it goes. It's kind of like, oh, geez, I just don't know what the heck to do with this game anymore. You know, I tried, you know, I really did try last year, and I just couldn't, I just couldn't do it. I, you know, you get me through a quarter, and I just want to see what else is on.
Yeah. I mean, it sucks because I love the game to begin with. I love the sport, the competitiveness. I can't do it. I mean, I could play around a little bit, you know, 10 years ago, but today I'm limited to shooting horse with no layups or any of that kind of crap. But, you know, that's just what kills me. It's like, number one, we get it, you know, puppeteered by the Mickey Mouse Network, slightly by TNT, but it's just they let some of the cheapest crap into the game, and it just kind of sucks the fun out of it. You know, you guys can't do anything because everything's a foul. But once you're on offense, you could do anything you want, including, you know, underhand the ball while you're taking five steps.
Yeah, you know, they've definitely decided that offense sells the league. You know, they don't want to do anything that we hear about for defense or any of that kind of stuff. There, none of that, you know, we don't want to hear that. So, you know, we just want scoring and more scoring and more scoring. I mean, I think that's why they talked about at one point in time, but I'm really afraid I'm going to turn the game on and it's going to be Rockin' Jock. If you remember that old MTV basketball thing.
Oh, I haven't seen that. I haven't thought about that in years.
Yeah, didn't they have like a 25-point spot or something, if I remember?
Yeah.
So,
Macaulay Culkin, the team lead, team coach, or captain, whatever you want to call him.
That stuff was just all kind of frightening. So, you know, that they had. Now, you know, I did see Dan, and I was going to watch it, and I think I ended up taking a nap instead. Did you happen to catch, I think the Big Three had their finals this weekend. Did you jump on board or happen to catch any of it?
No, it's just not in my television viewing site as much, the promotions.
Yeah, you know, I saw it, and it was kind of funny because I was just kind of like, okay, I got to go back and see what's going on. And I fell asleep. I was like, oh, boy, I was like, I missed it. So, but it looks like, who is this? They say Perfect Champs. So who are those? I don't know who the Perfect guys are. So, but yeah, they, you know, they got their, you know, their first season under their belt, and I don't know. Do you think they'll be back next year? You think we'll see them again?
I think they'll be back. I think they need to restructure their league and their plan.
Yeah, it looks like the winner was the Trilogy team.
They got to get Shaq involved.
Yeah, you know, it would be interesting to see if they could do that. The Trilogy team was coached by Rick Mahorn. So some of the guys, Kenyon Martin, Al Harrington, and Rashad McCants were the former pros on the team there. Let's see, they had James White, Deion Glover, and yeah, then Rick Mahorn, like I said, was the coach. So they apparently are your first Big Three champs.
Yeah, no, and what I watched of it, though, I mean, you're not going to get a crappy game of ball, that's for sure. I mean, you know, a lot of these guys were former NBAers, and, you know, I know it's not the NBA, but whatever they're getting paid, I don't think you even have to pay these guys to put the passion that they have for the game. And that's what I enjoyed the day I did watch it was, you know, these guys were into it. You know, they enjoyed playing the game, and you see them getting mad, frustrated with other players. And I think, you know, if they can get a guest spot from Lonzo Ball, or even rotate the, you know, to rotate guys in and out, I think that would add to it.
Yeah, you know, you do have to wonder. I mean, obviously they need to make some changes. You know, it'll be interesting to see, you know, how they bring it back, what they decide to do, you know, with it. But it, you know, I believe it did okay. You know, I mean, again, it's something we'll, you know, maybe if it does come back, you and I will have to pay a little more attention to it, you know, next season. So.
Yeah, you know, like I said, I think I get it. You want to use arenas because, you know, sponsorship money. You've got Fox behind you, so you're going to have some money to spend. But I think they could make it a little bit more unique by bringing some of the game outside. You know, we talked about Rutgers Park is huge for basketball out there in New York. That's a huge spot. I mean, even doing Venice Beach in California.
Yeah.
That's another spot. You know, and really bringing some attention to it, not just, oh, you know, we're a basketball league and we pretty much play in, you know, the same arenas or, you know, here in Chicago, the big, you know, the two big ones are the UC, United Center and Allstate Arena. And it's like, if you don't play at one, you play at the other. So, you know, because their crowds weren't really big enough to be drawn 18,000 people. I think if they, you know, reeled it in a little bit, I think they could really have something.
Yeah, you know, it definitely looks like it had solid footing. They also handed out their awards, just the base ones here. You know, Rashad Lewis was the most valuable player, and Rick Mahorn won Coach of the Year. They had some other kind of funny stuff, like they gave out a Best Dressed Award to Kendall Mobley. I don't know what you do to win Best Dressed, but
The one thing that they're going to have to do, and, you know, being the kind of guy I am, I don't really want to see it happen, but sadly, they have to cut their ties with AI. Maybe he can be an ambassador, but I don't think he should be involved with coaching, player coaching, and, you know, that stuff.
So, yeah, you know, well, I haven't heard any, you know, announcements or anything on a second season. So we'll have to kind of, you know, keep a listen to that and see if anything comes, you know.
I think, you know, an Ice Cube either has to, they need to do something on Ice Cube. He either needs to be there with the game or just not. Figure it out.
Well, all right. The music means Dan and I are going to take off for the day here. But, hey, we'll be back tomorrow at 5:30 with all again. You know what to do while we're away, though. Get over to sportstimeradio.com. Check out what goes on over there. Follow the link over to the Facebook page and give that a like, please. Don't forget the Twitter feed that's at sportstimeradio. You can also find Dan and I on Twitter if you're looking for us. As always, hey, a big thank you for listening live. We, Dan and I, appreciate when you do that. But don't forget, you can find the podcast anytime you want now.
Sports Time Radio.